Thanks, team. You're quite right, Sharon. I'm tempted to say good morning. Good morning, church. Good evening. And welcome to our Christmas Eve service. Yeah, someone greeted, actually. Good evening. Well done. Welcome to our house. If you are just popping in tonight, then we are so happy to have you with us. If you're one of our regulars just coming to support me, woohoo! Go team! You guys are awesome. Don't know what I'll do without you. Let's pray. Father, you are indeed the most awesome God there ever is. You are awesome, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. We lift your holy name. We thank you, Father, that in your wisdom you thought each one of us here tonight was worthy to be on this earth, and so you created us. And so we praise you, Lord. And tonight we want to come and to have fellowship with each other, to enjoy each other, and to learn from you and to learn from your Holy Spirit. But above all, Father, we want to bring glory and honor to your name. And so we bless this service for the sake of your kingdom, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'd like to invite Anne Walker. Anne has an awesome reading for us. Yeah. Just talking to him.
I just have a story here. Is this right? No. Some of you may have heard this story, some of you may not. It's about a candy cane, something we all have at Christmas. There's a story that goes like this. In Indiana, a Christian candy maker wanted to make a candy that would be a witness to Jesus. So he produced a candy cane. Into it, he incorporated several symbols of Jesus' birth, ministry, and death. So let's look at the candy cane and see how it is a witness to Jesus. Firstly, he began with a stick of pure white hard candy. White as a symbol of Jesus' pure virgin birth and his sinless nature and his perfectness. Hard as a symbol of the solid rock, the foundation of the church, the firmness of God's promise. Matthew 16, verse 18, God says, "On this rock I will build my church." The candy maker then made the candy in the form of the letter J to represent the precious name of Jesus who came to earth as our Saviour. So if you turn the J upside down, you have the staff. The shepherd uses a staff. John 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep." Hmm. The candy cane also represents a staff with which Jesus, the good shepherd, reaches down in the ditches of the world to lift us out. The fallen lambs who, like sheep, have gone astray, as it says in Isaiah 53, verse 6. Thinking that the cane was somewhat plain, the candy maker stained it with red stripes. He used three small stripes to show the... He used three small stripes to show the stripes caused by the whipping Jesus received at the cross on behalf of you and me. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "By his stripes we are healed." The large red stripe represents the blood shed by Jesus on the cross for our sins, through which we have the promise of eternal life, if only we put our faith and trust in him. Mm. The flavour of the candy cane, he made peppermint,
which is very similar to hyssop. Hyssop is an aromatic plant from the mint family, and it was used in the Old Testament for purification and sacrifice. Jesus is the pure Lamb of God, come to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Unfortunately, the candy cane has become known as a meaningless decoration seen at Christmas time. But the meaning is still there for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. So next time you see or eat a candy cane, hear the sermon it preaches. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is the sinless Rock of Ages who suffered and died for our sins. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Thanks, Anne. We almost need to say amen after that and just go for a good coffee somewhere. But we'll continue. Hilary, please come and do our reading for us tonight.
The reading tonight is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. It's the Passion Translation, which means that it sounds quite different from what you've probably used to. And it's headed, Our New Life. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character. And proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. For when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. Now, who of us would dare to die for the sake of a wicked person? We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. And there is still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, "You are now righteous in my sight." And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. So, if while we were still enemies, God fully reconciled us to himself through the death of his Son, then something greater than friendship is ours. Now that we are at peace with God, and because we share in his resurrection life, how much more we will be rescued from sin's dominion. And even more than that, we overflow with triumphant joy in our new relationship of living in harmony with God, all because of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Amen. I don't know what kind of service you have come for tonight. And I don't know how many of you would have prepared your hearts for what God is doing. You see, God is always doing something. Amen? Is there ever a time when God is not doing something? No, never. There's never a time when God is doing nothing. It is impossible for God to do nothing. Can I get an amen? It is impossible for God to do nothing. And at this time of the year, in homes across the world, we find Christmas trees. There's one out there. How many of you will have Christmas trees in your homes? Absolutely. It has become the symbol of Christmas. It stands out in this country, and maybe more than any other country, and maybe more than most, and maybe less than some. And the Christmas tree has become part of our season. And I want to say, you know, some of us hold on to a few things. So maybe tonight is not a night to fix anything. Tonight is a night to let go of a few things. Does that make sense? Because we think we need to fix something all the time, but we cannot always fix something. Sometimes we just need to let go. And so whatever pagan tradition there may have been that's linked to the Christmas tree, that is long gone. It's long gone. I don't want you to feel bad for having your beautiful Christmas tree in your home. We certainly don't feel bad for having one out in our foyer. It's no longer related to any pagan holiday. Simply stated, the truth of Jesus' birth or the Christmas season is that God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, became the baby of the cradle that he might become the man of the cross, that we might become his righteousness. Does that make sense to you? Are you following me? See if we get there tonight. God's word actually refers both to Jesus Christ, his son, the person, and his death on the cross. And both in the Old and the New Testament talks about this tree. And so tonight I want to talk to you about what is under God's Christmas tree. See, we would have gone out and we would have bought stuff. And we are hoping that we bought the right thing for the right people. And that they won't re-gift it next year to us. That has happened before. I've been re-gifted with my own gift. Yay. Obviously just needed it. One of the words in the New Testament that is translated cross at times is the word zulon. Can you say zulon? Zulon. Yeah, I'm a teacher as well. Zulon. We're going to learn something new. We're going to hear that word all over Christmas this season. Zulon. It is the word used for both the tree and for the cross. And the point is that this word means more than just a piece of wood. It's more than just the cross that our Savior hung on. It's our Savior himself. He has come. Let me read some scripture to you. It says in Acts 5:30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. In Acts 13:29, now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree, from the Zulon, and laid him in a tomb. And Peter says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, and by whose stripes you are healed. And so if you are in need of healing tonight, then Christ has come so that you can be healed. In the Old Testament, It talks prophetically about the Messiah coming. It says here, he was portrayed as a shoot or a branch which would grow out of the cut down stump of the house of David. Have you noticed how often they talk about a tree and they talk about Christ and they talk about it in those same sentences? And so, a lovely man in my previous church had made this tree for me. It's beautiful. Took him hours to get it just right. And so tonight we will come to the gift that is under the tree for us. He's also seen as the branch of the Lord, as the righteous branch, as God's servant, whom God who raised up on human scene to give righteousness and life to the nation and to all who believe in him. So these passages show us that God indeed had this Christmas tree. It's not just something that someone had come up with. People always think they're a whole lot more clever than God. And I'm sure God has a giggle and I have a giggle. Because there's nothing new under the sun for our Father. And everything that we can think of, he had already discovered. He had already created. And I think there must be times when God is thinking, how long before they catch up? Yeah, I heard a scientist the other night, Pastor Russell, did a wonderful, awesome video on science and God. And this man was saying, science is just a process of discovering what God has already created and what God already knows about. So don't be confused as to why we are here. We are not here by accident, neither are we here by default, neither are we here because our mom and dad thought they had nothing better to do and let us make a few babies. It's not how we got to be here. Is that okay, Pastor Russell? I don't think they're going to have me. He's sitting right at the back. He's taking notes tonight. My first Christmas, I'm allowed a few mistakes. We are here by design. We are here because God loved us so much. He could not imagine this world without us. So, I know the question you have, hey? You have a question for me. You do? Yes, of course you do. And because I know the question, I will ask it on your behalf. How does that sound? But just how does a person acquire God's tree with its abundant and imperishable fruit and gifts? And what are these gifts? Yeah, that baby, he thought about it as well. And so let us think about it today. And before we get there, we have such beautiful, talented people in our church. So, Miss Rebecca Smith, will you please come and sing for us? Thank you. And then I'll let you know what's happening under the tree.
Sky, the cold wind in the winter. things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. He gave us eyes to see them, and lips that we might tell how great is God Almighty, who has made all things well. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful.
Wow, Rebecca, holding out on me. when I heard that Rebecca wanted to sing for us, you know, I thought, well, I've never heard Rebecca, but Lord, I trust you. Yeah. That first clap was for Rebecca. Can we give a hand for God for the gift that He's given her? Awesome. Thank you, Father, that you bless us so all the time. God's Christmas tree. As we think about acquiring God's tree with its imperishable gifts, several passages come to mind for me as well. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And in John, Jesus himself said, Jesus answered this woman and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who is speaking to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And then in Revelation, it says, and he said to me, and John is talking about what Christ is saying to him, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to those who thirst. And then church, visitors. It says in Revelation, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take water of life freely. See, Scripture stresses that it is by grace and through faith alone in the work of Christ alone that we are saved. Not by any religion or any moral teaching. I think it doesn't matter how good you are, it doesn't matter how good you think you are. There is no possible gift that we could bring to God the Father to come put under His tree that will get us to heaven, except to return with His Son, Jesus Christ. It's all He wants. He's not going to ask me, Bridget, tell me about your property when I get to heaven. He's not interested. He's not going to say, oh, what did you make me? What did you bring for me? I think God's going to ask me two questions. What have you done with my son? And how have you loved others? And so we come to the manger at Christmas time and we think, it's all about this little baby. And if you've been in church last week, you would see that this manger would fall flat if not for everything else that had gone before. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God Himself, lest anyone should boast. I cannot boast about my salvation. It's not your normal Christmas Eve service, hey? And not your normal Christmas Eve message either. Because I think God loves you so much that He wants you to know a few things about Him. And wants you to know a few things that you can have for free. He wants to give it to you. He's eager to give you some gifts tonight. Grace is not grace. And free is not free if I must pay for it. Grace isn't free if I must buy it. Free suggests something that we don't and cannot buy at all. Something that we receive as a gift. I promise I'll get to the tree. I'm not just delaying. But I would like to invite Anne and a choir to come and sing for us. You will have to come up, otherwise people at the back can't see you. Yeah, step up one more. Here we go.
Good evening. While we're all taking our place, I just want to say this. It's Christmas Eve. And on that first Christmas Eve, there was an air of the whole world waiting. Suddenly, heaven's choirs announced the arrival of the one who would save us all. It was as though heaven was calling us, "Come, all ye faithful." And tonight, our choir will sing that, "Come, all ye faithful." We will sing the first verse, and then in answer, you will stand and join in with the first chorus of, "Come, let us adore him," and then we'll all sing together. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. God's tree is acquired through faith. It says in John 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Now let's see what's under this tree. No doubt we have trees at home. And I got a gift today from Graham, actually. And in my eagerness, got to confess, when Graham handed over, this is me straight to the table, and I was about to unwrap it. And Graham, thank you, Graham, said, well, actually, you have to wait. So I taped it back. I can't promise that I'll wait until midnight. But now that I've confessed, I might have to. We all wait with great anticipation and joy. And there's joy in giving and there's joy in receiving for us. And sometimes these gifts come with instructions. And some of us bypass these instructions. And we take three times as long as we should have. Because we don't read the instructions. It's true. And some of us just know how these things work. And sometimes you get something that you don't really like and you kind of smile, think, oh, thank you. So kind. And as you're walking away, you're rolling your eyes. You think, what am I going to do with another pair of socks? Yeah. Some people know what I'm talking about. And we look at another piece of pottery and think, where will I put this thing? But you smile and we say, thank you for it. But you know what? If you are a Christian, then you need to be reminded tonight that there are these free gifts for you. And you need to rejoice over it. And you need to figure out ways to use them. And if you are not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, then I am hoping that tonight some desire will stir in your heart. Some thinking will go on and you'll go, I want to know this God. Oh, I want to know more than just this little babe. I want to know the man who died on the cross for me. So the first gift, and come to us, if I can find it. It's justification. The gift of justification. Justification is a legal term. And it gives the image of a sinner in a court of law, and we have to be weighed, and then someone has to pay for the things that we've done wrong. I mean, who's ever got a speeding ticket? We are in church, people. And who kind of thought they can explain to the judge, you know, that was kind of orange. I'm sure I saw a bit of green in there. Not sure about the red. I remember one morning I was supposed to preach and I was late for church. And I did it. The light was red, what can I say? But I thought, I'm a pastor, surely I'll just explain. So before long, I got pulled over. And this lovely gentleman, police, stopped me. And said, where are we off to in such a hurry this morning? I thought, legitimately, I'm going to church. So I said, oh, I'm on my way to church. And I showed him my little badge. See, I'm a pastor. And he looked at me and he said, and should you have known better? And I said to him, well, just put the price you're going to put on in any case. Don't make it any less for me. Which he did. He was doing his job. I was trying to get out of it. Justification. It is the divine pronouncement of God that we are acquitted from all sin and penalty. We have been set free from that judgment. We have been made acceptable before God and to God. It is a pardon that God Himself, can you imagine how big God is? And can you imagine that God Himself says, Hillary, you are now pardoned. Bridget, you are now set free. I mean, I still had to pay the speeding fine, but in terms of everlasting life, I don't have to pay another dime. I simply need to follow Jesus Christ and listen to Him. And you know, who is the only one who keeps us behind these bars of condemnation? It is Satan. It's the devil. He says to us, nothing you do will ever be good enough. And we try and we try and we try harder. And we do everything we can. But friends, tonight, I promise you, justification comes only from God. We have a new standing before God. We have been made right with Him. We are now brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, there may be some of you who don't want me as a sister, but hey, come pick your family. Once we've been justified, we are officially family. Marcel, we are family. Is that okay with you? The second gift. We are now justified. Second gift God gives us is the gift of peace. Peace with God. Can you imagine having perfect peace with God? We are hoping for peace with others. And we pray for peace with others. But peace with God means that we have been reconciled with Him. The Lord and I like this, we talk all the time. I don't know what you think about God. And people have this image about God, depending on how, what the researchers say and the scholars say, depending on their parental relationships. And primarily a relationship with their dad. But see, my dad did a pretty good job. And so it wasn't a stretch for me to go from earthly father to heavenly father, God the Father. And so how you address God speaks about your peace with Him. Do you still think God's going to come down with a whip? Or that He's so angry that nothing you do to be justified can buy you peace with Him? But God loves you. Oh, we get to that gift. The root of all trouble in the world today is not the failure of the governments. It's not even the absence of money. It is our own animosity toward God. And what we need is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you don't have peace, you know where to find it. Not on this little bauble. It's with Father. The third gift we have for free, no money needed, no work needed, is the gift of access to God. You know, Paul says, we can now come confidently, boldly, freely into the throne room of grace. How do you approach God? Do you come confidently, freely, and boldly? Or do you still come, he's going to talk about all the things I didn't get right with Him. It's not how God wants us to approach Him. He's always waiting, arms open wide. Arms open wide. When are they coming to me? I had this vision actually, and God was sitting on His throne. If you can imagine God sitting on His throne, God was sitting on His throne, and I went to go sit at His feet, and so I only saw, I was sitting down there, and I probably came up to His calf. It's my imagination, maybe yours is a bit better. And I was sitting there, and God just put His hand on my shoulder. And I watched people going backward and forward, backward and forward. And the Lord said to me after a while, they are so busy with none of the things I've told them to do. They no longer come to just sit with me. Now, I know that there are parents here tonight who are waiting and waiting with a hunger and a longing for their children to just pick up the phone or to just come. And so how much more would God the Father, who has given us free access to Him, how much more would He be waiting, longing, desperate for us to just come and sit, to not rush around in His kingdom? Besides, He knows exactly what needs doing. Access to God. You have access. When you have access, you have the keys to the kingdom. You can come. You don't have to stand and ring a bell and wondering whether people are hiding on the inside, not wanting to open for you. You can walk in and come. But only in Christ Jesus can we come. And then our gift number four is hope. Is anyone in need of hope tonight? Hey, do you feel yourself a little bit lost and alone and forlorn and lonely? And God comes and He says, you can come anytime to me. He gives us hope. And we don't grieve as people who have no hope. Bad things happen to all of us. And on Friday, we will be celebrating someone who's going home. Like Pastor Russell liked to say, someone who's been promoted to heaven. Jocelyn Badger. And people will come and we will celebrate Jocelyn's life. And we celebrate because we have hope that we will see her. We are not without hope. And so I'm wondering if our worship team can come and bless us. Feel free to sing along. Stay seated and simply enjoy. Kneel. Hug someone. Hopefully someone you know next to you.
We are going to sing the first Noel.
Thank you.
shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of
team. You guys are awesome. So far we've had the gift of justification. We have been made right with God. And so far we have the gift of peace with God. We can be intimate with Him. We are reconciled with God. So far we have been given the gift of access to God. We don't need anyone to mediate for us. We can go boldly, confidently, freely into the throne room of grace. So far we have the gift of hope of the glory of God. We are not a people without hope. When the world is walking around in a hopeless state, do you know what even in the Quran they are saying? I've read the Quran because I need to know what people say. Do you know what they say in the Quran, what Muhammad had written to his followers? Does anyone know what he said? There will come a time when you will know what to do. And then you need to go to the people of the book. Who do you think are the people of the book? Any guesses out there? Who are the people of the book? The book of life. Glory. The glory of God. Now what else do we have? We have the gift of triumph in times of tribulation. Who's had a tough year this year? Yeah. It's not been easy. It's been a tough year this year. But this marvelous gift that we get to unwrap for free, triumph in times of trial and tribulation, victory as ours. You can have it. Do we have a good God who's so generous? I mean, I don't know how many of you have 8 gifts under the tree. We're going to get to 8 tonight that you can get for free. See, this particular gift of triumph puts us in the mindset to rejoice over what God has done for us. To rejoice in the manger and to rejoice at the cross. And to rejoice when someone like Jocelyn Badger is going to be with her Father. The world struggles with these two words. Hey, there's a tension there. How can you have affliction and joy? It's hard. Yesterday I was crying. I think I told someone in the church, it must have been, I think it was Danielle yesterday. I cried yesterday. Annette, my heart had gebreek gister. I cried yesterday. Because I read in Matthew 6:33, seek first God's kingdom and live righteously, and all things that you need, He will give unto you. And I realized that it's not always easy for us to be obedient all the time to God. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to put God first above everything, every day, consistently. But only His children can say that we will triumph over our tribulation and our trials. Because we serve a good God. Amen. Oh, it's really quiet in here. Let's see. What else does the Lord have for us? He has the gift of love. The gift of love. This is God's love poured out for us. This is God's love that He loved us when we were far away from Him. This is God's love for us even now when there are people not caring about Him and not wanting to know Him. Then at Christmas time, God is saying, this is how much I love you. That I sent my Son, I pursued you before you wanted to know me. And whether you love Him or not, it's not going to take away God's love for us. Do you think love is a gift that we need? I do. My love tank gets emptied out. And then I need to know that the Father is as close to me as my skin. That the Holy Spirit is as close to me as my very next breath. That Jesus Christ is as close as the next prayer that I send up to heaven. Because He's right there interceding for us. The gift of love. It's a difficult one to give though, hey? We like to receive love. Who find it really easy to love others? I know, Toby. You are such a loving boy. Toby's a real encourager. Toby was the only one who had his hand up. He really has the gift of love for others. And so we want to receive it. But we also need to give love. And you know, Mother Teresa said, we want to go out and say we want to change the world. And I'm sure some of you know what she said. She said, but when you think about going out and changing the world, then go home and love your family first. That's how you will change the world. Love starts at home. The people who know you. Love started in heaven with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And heaven came down to us so that we can know what love is. So the gift of love. If you need it, simply ask the Lord. He already loves you. And then gift number 7. Let me see. It's this one. The gift of deliverance. We all need to be delivered from something. See, we all still have a gun. Is that a fair comment to make? A gun. A gun. We all still have one. We all still have the thing that we hold on to. As soon as someone presses that button, you are off like nothing. Someone cuts you off, you're trying to chase them to show them what the laws of the road is. When your spouse or your children don't listen, then anger is there straight away. So we all have this gun that we need to be delivered from. We need deliverance. We all hold on to a little something. If we don't, then we have perfect saints in this house tonight. I'm not yet there. I'm so glad the Lord didn't come for me today because I still need to do a few things. We need deliverance. And Christ has come so that we can be delivered. And God has given us that gift because He loves us. And then, what do you think is the last one? Hey? We've gone through all these gifts that God has given us so that we can get to this very last one. Eternal life. The gift of salvation. The gift of spending eternity with God and with each other. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? That we don't have to pay for any of these things. And God comes because He's God. No, He's not Santa Claus. No, He isn't. No, you're not on a naughty and nice list. No. No. No, He's not telling you to not cry. I'm struggling to open this gift of salvation. Here we go. He's not telling us to not cry because His Son cried. And God says that He bottles our tears. What for? Because it's precious to Him. It's not Santa. It's God. It doesn't punish one reindeer and, you know, it's very nice to the rest. It doesn't do that. He loves us equally. He has no favorites. How awesome is that? That God the Father has no favorites. If our greatest need had been for information, then God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, then God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been for money, then God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been to laugh and for pleasure, then God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior. Amen. Paul is writing about the boasting in the sense of a triumphant and confident rejoicing in God through the work of Jesus Christ. And so friends, family, church family, I want to invite you to think about these things. Think as you get your heart ready. Think before you are too full tomorrow afternoon because you can't think and then you just sleep. Think about what it is that you need from God. And I remember that I'm just a messenger. And so if anything is wrong, it's the messenger's fault, not the Savior. So if you're upset about these gifts, then be upset with me, not with God the Father. And I can only present to you what He has in His heart for you. So I'm going to invite the team, and we're going to sing a Silent Night. And on your chair, some of you will have little lights. And Ollie will dim the lights for us, and we will try. And if you don't have a little light, then I know you've got your phone. You're not supposed to watch your text messages, but you can use your torch. Do you want the lights dim? No? Oliver, if you can dim the lights over here. Please stand. And either light your phone or light your little light. Guys can sing A Holy Night, and that will be our final song. Thank you. When you unwrap these gifts, you find them backed up by the faithfulness and guarantee of God Himself through the perfect and finished work of Jesus Christ. These gifts, they never break, and they never wear out, and they never lose their function. They never lose their giftedness. They last for eternity. And they do all that so that God can keep His promises. See, the marvel of marvels is that these gifts are only a small part of what God has in mind for us. So as you go forth, family, friends, into this night, then think about what you need from God your Father. And think about what the Savior has brought for you. And think about this baby in the manger who became a man who died on the cross so that we can have eternal life. And as you cross paths with others tomorrow, it will cost us nothing to smile with a stranger. So smile with someone and make their day. And as you have opportunity and someone is in need of a hug, and even if it's not your thing, then open your arms. Yeah, Bruce, I'm coming for you later on for a hug. Open your arms and give them a hug. And if you can do nothing else, then this is the best thing you can do for others. Pray for them. May the Lord bless you and keep you and give you His favor and surround you and encircle you with His love. And may you know how well you are loved. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's the end of our service tonight. Feel free to leave.